Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If I'm buying stock, I'm buying Red Sox stock right now. They've got financial flexibility after moving Rafael Devers. And with Bregman now coming off the books, sure, they've got a hole to fill there. But they could sign Bregman and sign Pete Alonso and still be within the money of what they had on their budget this year for Bregman and Devers. And so they're in a great spot. They've got money to spend. They've got major league depth and surplus in the outfield that if they want to trade, people covet their outfielders, and they've got a terrific farm system as well. Any deal that's out there, free agent, they could sign the guy. They could be the highest bidder. Trade deal, they've got major league players. If that's what you want prospects, they've got that too. They can be on everybody. I love where the Red Sox are positioned right now. And they're looking at a playoff team in 2025, and I think they could be really good in 26.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo, it's all over.
WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. And tonight we are here with you for...
About 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Actually, Mr. Jones, we're here for a full 4-hour show, everybody. Go until 10 o'clock tonight. Hope you stick around as we have lots to get to here. We'll be joined by Mike DeBate at 7:30. Looking forward to that. We will talk plenty of Patriots. We have your headlines at 8 o'clock. Your New England Nightly News at 8:30. We have Belichick at a cheerleading competition. And we have Jaylen Brown getting benched last night. How about that? But we're going to open up with what you just heard Steve Phillips talking about right there on MLB Network. We are going to open with your Boston Red Sox here tonight, because as I was going through my normal the internet surfing today, getting ready to think about what I want to talk about on the show, I had some Patriots ideas kicking around, and I was reading through Jeff Passan and what he posted yesterday about all the free agency and hot stove hubbub going on here, rumors flying around, different players, international players in some cases that the Red Sox may have their eyes on, all of that. It was a very, very long piece. And there's also another Jeff Passan piece from September that I'm going to reference here in just a little bit, because it may end up being a giant turd in this punch bowl of what everyone's getting pretty excited about here. And if you're excited about the Red Sox and what they could potentially be doing this offseason, I don't blame you. I really don't.
Yay, baseball.
Yes, exactly, Bradfo. Their last offseason was fantastic. It was fantastic. You want to see what they have in store. Disappointing trade deadline, sure. We all agree with that. But their offseason was excellent. And Craig Breslow pulled almost all the right levers, save for one or two, Walker Buehler. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, it was very, very successful. A very successful offseason. A lot of guys brought in who contributed tremendously. That's something you can say the Red Sox and the Patriots have in common. In their respective offseasons, they went out and they signed or traded for, in the Red Sox case, for impact players. Big name impact players, big sexy signings, big trades, extensions, etc. They went out and did that, and it worked. And it just, I feel like you don't often see that. You know, there's been kind of a good run of that, save for the Bruins here lately. Celtics going out, getting Holiday and Porzingis, winning a championship. Big, big names, big deals, big business. That's been working out here in Boston lately, has it not? I would say it has. Celtics now are trying to get back under all the luxury taxes with the new owner and everything, and they just cracked 500 with a win over the Nets, which was a little closer than it needed to be, but we'll get to the Celtics a little bit later on. I want to talk about some of the things Jeff Passan mentioned in this piece that he had. In particular, some of the names that got flung around. Of course, there's the Boris clients. Alex Bregman, who is technically a free agent right now. Technically, he's definitely a free agent right now. He opted out. Final 2 years of a $80 million of his contract. Says he won't close the door on a reunion, and neither will the Red Sox, despite Marcelo Meyer being there. The Detroit Tigers and Chicago Cubs, who pursued him heavily last winter, will rejoin the fray, Passan says, with Philadelphia lurking as it juggles multiple potential paths. Then there's Pete Alonso and his willingness to play DH, which offers avenues a first base-only mindset would not have. He could stay with the Mets, move to Boston, bring Cincinnati the big bat that it desperately needs. If Ryan Mountcastle is traded or non-tendered, split the first base and DH job in Baltimore with Samuel Basayo, who will also spend time playing catcher. For all three, the expectation of a big dollar deal is high. How quickly those materialize will help shape the winter ahead. And when he said that, I paused. Because when did Alex Bregman sign last year? Oh, right. Right before they went to Fort Myers. Like, right before that. He was finishing inking the thing on the plane, I think. You know, I mean, they waited till the very, very end. And with Boris clients, that is not an unusual thing. So at the end, when he goes, how quickly those materialize will help shape the winter ahead, saying that they'll materialize quickly, I think, is a pretty ambitious take there from Jeff Passan. Or maybe he was kind of laying the foundation for, you know, if you're waiting on these guys, you're going to be waiting. Because you know Mr. Boris is going to be telling his weird dad jokes and also getting top dollar and holding out for as long as he possibly needs to. And again, we'll talk more in depth about this, but I wonder how hot this market's going to be with a potential labor dispute, a major labor dispute, almost a year away from now, right? December 6th, 2026. That's when the CBA expires. That's almost exactly a year away, okay? We got, you know, a couple of weeks, and then it's bam, 365 until they can figure out if they want a salary cap or not, which is really what this is all about. And I can tell you, again, we'll get more into this in a little bit. I can tell you this is going to be contentious. There is also Tarek Skubal. Passan writes, says, whatever the decision the Tigers make, it's not easy. Only a handful of teams have the prospect depth and urgency to pull off a deal for Skubal. The Dodgers clearly fall into that category. Imagine if the Dodgers got Tarek Skubal. If the Dodgers got Tarek Skubal, I might just, you know, what do you even do? There were times when the Yankees would do things like that, when the Yankees got A-Rod. I remember everybody just being like, what the bleep, man? Come on, really? Really? When they got Giambi, Sheffield, and those guys, it was bad. But when they got A-Rod, it was like, come on. The Dodgers get Skubal. You know, that's...
You led the Dodgers to a World Series.
That would be something. Anyway, Dodgers fall into that category, though their rotation is already very good, and they're focusing their energy on outfielder and relievers. Phew. Thank God. The Mets would be perfect, Passan says. Particularly seeing his owner Steve Cohen wouldn't blink at giving out the largest contract ever to a pitcher. The Red Sox, pairing Skubal with Crochet at the top of their rotation, would give them two of the three best pitchers in baseball. Notice how there's no talk about how the owner would have no problem spending that kind of money. Notice how that always just gets kind of brushed aside. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Like, isn't that just such a prototype? That's exactly what I think of when I think of how the Red Sox do business. Is they go, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if we could get this guy, huh? Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome if we got Juan Soto? Oh, man, imagine Juan Soto and Rafael Devers or whatever they were saying in the offseason. Wouldn't that be great? It's like, yeah, that would be great. That'd be great. Can you do it? Well, no. Not really. But it'd be great, right? Like that's. I feel like that's the Sam Kennedy experience. But it is something to think about. The Orioles fit the bill, Passon says. Two big relievers and then prospects. Cubs could scrape together enough, though it would gut their system. The Yankees have the upper-level pitching depth that Detroit lacks. The Mariners have the players, but not the desire. And while the Brewers could put together the most suitable package, they're the ones who trade impending free agents, not acquiring them at 150% of a premium there. Then Passon goes on to talk about the hitters. Various, you know, lineup guys that are potentially on the trade block. And when you read something like that about Skubal, you kind of laugh it off. Like, yeah, right, the Red Sox, they're not going to outbid the Mets or the Dodgers or whoever else gets in the mix for this. Until you think about trading and what there is to trade. Passon writes, outfielders Jaron Duran and Willier Abreu, both corner outfielders in Boston, the Red Sox almost surely will deal one of them. There aren't enough at-bats in the lineup for both, especially if they add another bat in free agency, which, by the way, they better. They really better. Jaron Duran / Willier Abreu. I feel as though that's a bit of news. A little bit of news. It's not news, but Passon now throwing Abreu out there. I don't think he's just doing that. Just thinking about, well, who's in the outfield? Oh, well, they could trade either one of them. I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of people maybe jumped the gun on the idea of trading Jaron Duran or that the Red Sox would be all about that idea of trading Jaron Duran. And frankly, I am okay with that. I'm okay with them pumping the brakes on trying to unload Jaron Duran because at the end of the season, people were frustrated with him, for sure. People were frustrated with Duran, no question. I was. I mean, everybody was. The offense in general, outside of Yoshida and Trevor Story, really went in the tank at the end of the year and down and stretching the playoffs and all of that. I mean, that we don't have to relive it, but that was, and Duran was a prime culprit. You just thought, well, if maybe he can heat up a little bit, then who knows? Maybe he could get past the Yankees. Maybe he could get past one of these other teams. Who knows? Unfortunately, we never got to find out. Because they did not ever heat back up. Neither did Durant. And while I was certainly frustrated with the way that he played and the way that a lot of guys were playing down the stretch, when everyone towards the end of the year just up and said, well, you know, you just trade Durant and then you got Raffaele, you got Abreu, and you're golden. And it's like, you are? I don't know about that. Sedan Raffaele, you're golden with Sedan Raffaele? Have you looked at his splits? Like, I don't know about that. Sedan Raffaele had a tough year at the plate, boy. He was in a year that I was expecting there to be some real strides made for a guy that you did give a contract to, not a huge contract, but you did lock him up for a while. And I know that that makes him valuable to the team, but you know what I think is valuable to the team? MVP votes, which Jaron Duran has received and none of these other guys have. And Raffaella and Abreu, two gold glovers. I'm not saying that they stink or that they don't belong in the majors, but the idea that these are guys you absolutely have to keep. Meanwhile, Jaron Duran, the 2 years ago MVP conversation player, is the one that is obviously you got to get rid of. I don't know about that. I find that to be very reactive. Now, there may be other things about Jaron Duran that you don't like, you know, his interactions with the fans and some of that stuff. Fine. I mean, I kind of got over that. I didn't think it was good, but he was punished for it and he served his time and whatever, you know, like, I mean, it wasn't the crime of the century. It wasn't great. It wasn't a good thing that he did, but, you know, he got punished for it and you move on. He's kind of an angry guy, he seems like. And also, you know, we found out from the documentary he's dealing with some stuff. So I'm not of the mind that moving on from him for any of those reasons is a great idea just to trade him. Now, if you can get the most back for him, if there's the most value there in Jaron Duran, then you think about it, you consider it. But Willier Abreu may fetch a pretty decent return himself. Gold Glover, 26 home runs, whatever he had this year. He had better power numbers than Duran. And Duran didn't have a terrible year. He still had an OPS in the sevens. It's not like he was, you know, it's not like he was below the Mendoza line. But it was a step back for him, no question about it. And if they're predicting, if all the nerds and the people in the front office who track all this stuff are predicting that Jaren Duran is going to fall off the face of the earth next year and that they're going off of that, okay, I mean, that's the way of modern baseball, sure. But I don't know what their ceiling is for a guy like Sedan Rafaela at the plate. And Willy Abreu, I like him. He's a good player and a great defensive player and has power potential. But he was hurt and missed a big chunk of time last year. And they could have used him. So, you know, I mean, that's sort of where I'm at with all of this. The fact that they're both on this list, though, the fact that Passan named both of them, I think is absolutely noteworthy. And with that, there's a couple of other things.
Dude, I love Boston Radio. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. He also mentioned this, talking about top deals. He says, how much money gets thrown around on Framber Valdez, Dylan Cease, and Tatsuya Imai? Do we know?
I believe it's Imai.
Imai. Makes more sense. Sounds, it rolls off the tongue a little bit better. Tatsuya Imai, regarded as the frontline starters this winter, is the operative question. Considering the wide swath of teams prioritizing starting arms, the Mets, Cubs, Red Sox, Orioles, and Blue Jays are all playing in top-of-the-market sandbox with the Angels, Astros, A's, Giants, and others lurking. A hefty payday awaits all three. Interesting. Red Sox looking to potentially sign a starting pitcher for big money. Interesting. Last year, they traded for a big starting pitcher and then extended him. Seems like this year they just want to go the money route, which I find to be quite compelling. So you're willing to spend. You don't want to chuck out all your prospects again and do that for one of these guys that's already locked up on another team somewhere. You prefer to do it this way. Are they really open-minded to going that route? I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see how that works. He had a little bit on a couple of Japanese players, the two sluggers, who we can get to in just a little bit. Your phone number is 617-779-7937. We'll get to some of that. We'll get to your phone calls, and we have to address the elephant in the room here, and that is that there is a major, major labor dispute hovering on the brink of next season, and with all of this talk about what the Red Sox are going to do and how much they're going to spend, there may be a big roadblock in the form of that potential lockout that we may see in 2027. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls right after Joe Braverman gets you caught up on what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Patriots were back at practice today, gearing up for their next matchup in Cincinnati with the Bengals this Sunday. Kayshon Boutte and Christian Ellis returned to practice in full, along with Joshua Farmer and Terrell Jennings. Rhamondre Stevenson and Austin Hooper were also back at practice in a limited fashion. They were limited along with Christian Barmore, Kalyvon Chasen, Harold Landry, Morgan Moses, and Jelani Tavai. For Cincy, some significant developments as quarterback Joe Burrow was a full participant for the first time since suffering his turf toe injury during week 3. The man in his place at QB, Joe Flacco, was limited today due to a shoulder injury. Pass rusher Trey Hendrickson and cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt were DNPs. Also yesterday, receiver Jamar Chase's one-game suspension was upheld by the league, and he will be out for Sunday's contest. Some other NFL news, rookie Shedeur Sanders will make his first career start for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday, and Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers did not practice today but still aims to play Sunday despite a fracture in his left wrist. Bruins start a four-game road trip tonight out west when they face the Ducks. Jonas Corposalo will be in net for the Bees. Charlie McAvoy remains out after having facial surgery. Head coach Marco Sturm said there is no timeline for McAvoy's return. Puck drop from Anaheim is set for 10 o'clock. And the Red Sox announced the return of Fenway Fest at Fenway Park, the House of Blues, and MGM Music Hall on Saturday, January 10th. Tickets are $85 for adults, $35 for children 14 and under. Children 2 and under are in for free. Those who purchase tickets will also get a voucher for a Sox home game in April or May. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Who do you think is a better option for the Red Sox for a number two? Starter Joe Ryan or signing someone like Framber Valdez? First off, we're not even sure Joe Ryan is going to be traded. And it just seems to me, after making the Crochet deal last year and trading four good prospects, really good prospects, some of whom have already surfaced in the majors, that the Red Sox preference would be to sign a free agent, whether it's Valdez, whether it's Cease, whether it's Imai, Ranger Suarez, whoever that might be. It just would seem that that would be the way to go. Now, if you can make a deal that you like for Joe Ryan for 2 years, you do have a strong farm system or some other starter in that category. Sure, maybe that's the better alternative if the prices for the starters get, I don't know, into a level where the Red Sox are not comfortable. But my goodness, after trading Rafael Devers and purging the $330 million remaining on his deal, the Red Sox should be comfortable signing a big free agent.
Ken Rosenthal on the Foul Territory podcast. It was what we were just talking about. Red Sox preferring to sign a starting pitcher. Would make a trade if the price is comfortable, but after that big clobbering deal for Crochet last year, they're looking to maybe hold on to their prospects. Which isn't the craziest thing. They moved on from a lot of guys to make that happen. They made some trades. Their farm system is still in pretty good shape, but they also graduated two guys to the majors. Campbell's back down in the minors, so we'll see about him. But he is signed here long-term, so we'll see how that all goes, as is Roman Anthony. And that weakens your farm system once those guys become major leaguers. And if they can sign somebody and just spend the money, and that's what they prefer to do, great. Now, there's a difference between preferring to do that and actually wanting to do that. You prefer it to making a big trade. Do you actually want to do it, or is it just more favorable than this other thing? That's my question, because I think that's an important distinction. The Red Sox often hide behind stuff like that. We'd prefer to do this. Okay, but do you even want to? I know you'd rather do that than make a big trade, but do you even really want to do that? And do you believe them, by the way, when they say that? When they say they'd rather spend big money than trade prospects, do you believe the team when they say that? I'm not sure I do. I'm not sure that that connects. I mean, I know that they have value assigned to all their prospects, and that that value, if they make it to the majors or in trade scenarios, is something that they do to decide what kind of moves they want to make. But do you believe them really when they say that they'd much rather go out there and sign a huge contract, sign a pitcher to a huge contract? And the names, by the way, that he just gave you right there. Framber Valdez, I'd love if they'd sign Framber Valdez. He's 32 years old. Ranger Suarez is 30. Dylan Cease is 29 and just had a kind of schmeh season with a 4.5 ERA. So, you know, like I'm not doing backflips for any of those guys. Framber Valdez, I'd love to have him. But you know how the Red Sox are about pitchers over 30. You know what their philosophy is on that. That hasn't changed. That wasn't just something that, you know, existed in the Ben Cherington era. Like that's been going on this whole time. They're not into that. They don't like doing that. Ranger Suarez is another good example, you know, like he's 30 years old. He was very good last year, 12-8 with a 3.2 ERA. Walks were a little up, but no big deal. I'd take him on the team. Then there's the question of, is that enough? Is that enough? If they go out and spend big money on Dylan Cease to be the number two, is that satisfactory? Like, do you feel as though they've really made the move that they needed to make? Or did they just get another middle back end rotation guy? I thought the whole idea of this was frontline starter. When I think frontline starter, I think one or two. Now, you're not going to go past Crochet unless, of course, you trade for Tarek Skubal, which I don't think is realistic. But it sure would look good, right? Right, Sam Kennedy? It would look great. Yeah, we know. Are they willing to do it? Probably not. But that's sort of what I mean. Dylan Cease in an oversized contract, because that was the one that you could come to grips with because he's not 30 yet or whatever weird reason it is, they end up going for a guy like him. And that was also something that almost happened at the trade deadline. Dylan Cease for Jaron Duran, and there were some other guys included in the deal from the Padres side. That was something that was out there, rumored out there. Phone calls went back and forth for a package like that. I don't know if that would have made much of a difference. He needed some arms, so it probably would have. Dylan Cease, though, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about him. It was a drop-off year for him, for sure. If you were getting the Dylan Cease of the last 3 years, I'd say, yeah, fine. First of all, he's in his prime. You know, he's in his mid to late 20s. And he's putting up much better numbers. And then you get into the mix with stuff like that. You start thinking about those names. You start fixating on certain guys. And that's when it starts to hit me. Like, okay, is this all real? Is this a smokescreen? Or is this all real? Is this something that they're actually going to pursue? Are they just going to front like they're pursuing it, and really in the background, John Henry and everybody else are all trying to figure out the best way to get the union to accept a salary cap, right? Because it's 1995 all over again, isn't it? 30 years ago, it's 30 years of kind of, you know, there was a couple of hiccups here and there, but it seemed like for the most part, in the last 25 years anyway, they were able to figure it out. Now the union doesn't want a salary cap more than they've ever not wanted it before. And the owners are basically saying, we have to do this. And it's all kind of comes down to the Dodgers and the Mets. And it's really just a redux of, you know, the Yankees back in the 90s when that all happened. And the big market teams were spending a ton of money. And, you know, the poor Red Sox couldn't compete with them. That was a real issue. That was a real problem. And then, you know, they implemented all this stuff. They implemented all the luxury taxes and all these other things. And it took a while, but teams have now started to find ways around it. The Dodgers are circumventing this with deferred money and all this other stuff. The Mets and Steve Cohen are just writing blank checks. It's you know, it's not completely different. There are some new workarounds that you're seeing, certainly what the Dodgers are doing. But other than that, it's all pretty similar. It's all pretty similar to the steroid era, you know? That was back when this was all going on. I'm wearing my steroid era shirt today, by the way, if you haven't seen this one. This is one of my favorite garments if you're watching on Twitch. Take a look at that, huh? Yeah, pretty good, right?
Bond, Sosa, McGuire.
McGuire, Canseco, Bash Brothers.
All the legends.
Yeah, pretty proud of this one. Hold on a second. I just, in standing up, I do that so infrequently, I knock the wire out of my headphones. Apologies there, but that's basically what's going on here. And while I love all this posturing that's going on, because it makes my job easier, I love what Jeff Passan's reporting. I love that he's got the Red Sox in the mix on all these guys. I've been there before with this team. And also, we know that the Red Sox are not one of the teams that are fighting to or neutral on the idea of the salary cap. We know that, I think. They're very much in their minds a mid to small market team. That's how they consider themselves. That's how they sort of look at things. They don't look at themselves as the big bad Red Sox and they can outspend anybody and they're going to go out and do it. No. Deep down, they're just the poor little Red Sox. You know, they're trying their best. But oh, these other teams, these Toronto Blue Jays just spend so much money. And it's like, guys, you know, there was a time when you didn't feel this way. There was a time when this wasn't the priority. The priority was winning. The priority was building the team and building the roster. And we all recognized what that time as a Red Sox fan was like. We all recognized what the team looked like and what the direct effect of was of that philosophy. And we've seen here over the years what it's looked like when you don't do that. And it's pretty ugly. You'll trip your way into a playoff here and there. But what it takes generally is what you saw here this past offseason.
I heard you.
You know, actually spending. Making a big trade and then actually extending the guy. And then they couldn't help but be the Red Sox. They had to trade away Rafael Devers to clear up some money, which they sure are going to go out there and spend. That's the other thing you keep hearing from Phillips and Rosenthal and everybody else. Is like, well, they traded Devers. They got all this money freed up. They got to spend it, right? And it's like, right. We're skeptical. You know, you can say they got to spend it. We've experienced this many, many years. Them having money to spend. They have enough money to sign Bregman and Alonso if they want to. They can get both of them. Absolutely they could. It wouldn't even really cut into it that much, you know? Like, they'd still be well behind a lot of other teams. That, I think, is another part of this. Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, the right-handed power bat, all of that. These aren't luxuries, I won't say. Like, I think that every good team needs one. It's not like you have a bunch of them on your team right now. You have some good young talent, and you have some guys and, you know, Trevor Story and Willy Abreu and, you know, maybe whatever Tristan Cassis is this next year when he comes back from his injury, assuming that he's still in the mix. You know, like, I don't know. You got Narvaez still, who showed flashes of being a steady hitter this year. But much like everybody else, they had their cold streaks, you know. They did. And while Bregman was certainly a rock in the lineup in the first half of the season, he fell off. Trevor Story couldn't touch the ball in the first couple of months, and then he suddenly became this rock. Yoshida couldn't even get on the field. All of a sudden, he's the main guy. He's your main guy in the lineup. You needed a hit. You waited for number seven to come up. Like that was how it went in September. So you never really know. I mean, you never really know who's going to show up when. But it's good to have your bases covered here. No pun intended. It is good to have that sort of at the very least. You know, because what the problem for the Red Sox was, just in the rotation, for example, what the problem for the Red Sox was, wasn't that they didn't have enough arms. They had plenty of arms. A lot of guys got hurt, but they had arms. You know, they signed guys. They went into the season with tons of arms up at the major league level and waiting in the wings in the minors. And in the end, you know, a fat lot of good that does you. You get hit with the injury bug, which they did in that rotation. It was, I mean, from the very beginning of the year, Cutter Crawford never threw a pitch. You know, like you just had all these guys that could not answer the bell. And the ones who did, Crochet, Giolito, Brian Bayo, those guys I thought were real, real tough. And it was great to see them go out there and muscle through the tough months of the season and get you to the playoffs. But it wasn't enough. And even if you had everybody healthy, those were your 1-2-3 either way. Tanner Houck, you know, like I don't know what's up with him. I don't know what's up with a lot of guys. I'm not sure about Dobbins. I'm not sure about Fitz. I'm not sure about Peyton Tolley. I'm not sure about Connolly Early. Like, I don't know. I mean, they'll be on the team. I just don't know exactly what their roles are going to be. I don't know if they're going to be guys that pitch their way into the rotation or something beyond that. I don't think any of that's set in stone now, which is a good opportunity to go out there and get someone who will be set in stone.
And no one wants a Brexit.
No, we do not. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Alex Cora was on foul territory, and he had some interesting things to say. Talking about the Alex Bregman situation, let's grab this. He's, you know, good friends with Alex Bregman, a big part of the reason why Bregman got signed last offseason. He was asked about staying in touch with Alex Bregman.
We stay in touch. He's a guy that I have a lot of respect. I really enjoy managing him last year. We have a good relationship, so we stay in touch. Talking about his offseason and him asking me questions about my kids and all that. So we talk a lot, to be honest with you.
Okay. They're in touch. Staying in touch. That's all fine. Scott Boras doesn't care about that. When asked about Tristan Casas in the first base situation, Pete Alonso, name floating around there, Alex Cora said this.
Is Tristan Casas your first baseman next year, or are you going to sign Pete Alonso?
Love that.
We got to get him healthy, man. I think Tristan is a big part of what we're trying to accomplish, but we got to get him healthy. You know, last year we were talking about Tristan hitting 30 home runs, driving in 100. And that happened, right, early in the season. So we're not giving up on him, but we know that he hasn't been healthy throughout his career. So that's very important.
Yeah, that is important. And before that happened with Tristan Casas, he was hitting under 200, I think. He was, right, like 189, something like that. He was having a very, very tough year at the plate prior to the injury. Now, it was early enough in the year that you can say, well, guys will get over it. Look at Trevor Story. Look at, you know, a bunch of guys. Rafael Devers was 0 for his first 25 to start the year. Before he started heating up. So all of that just to say this. This is going to be, I think, an extremely important offseason for the Red Sox. I hope they don't treat it as something that can just be deferred to after this big labor dispute, which I have a funny feeling is going to come up a lot, you know, when they talk about why we couldn't get this guy or why we couldn't get that guy. The reports are going to come out afterwards that they're concerned about 2027 and they're concerned about a lockout and they don't want to commit all this money. Like, I have a feeling that that's the way it's going to go. I have a feeling that the Major League Baseball is going to undo all this goodwill and these great World Series that they've had over the last couple of years, all these young eyeballs and people getting more into the game. It's just, it's so typical for Major League Baseball to do stuff like this. So I'm saying it, hoping that it doesn't happen, but you know, we'll all find out together. I suppose we do at least have one more season. Hopefully the Red Sox take that seriously and aren't just looking ahead to potential labor problems, because that would really be a shame. They're right on the brink of something here, and in order to keep in pace with these other teams in the American League, you're gonna have to go out there and keep adding to your team, because you know these other teams will. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, the Boston Celtics beat the Brooklyn Nets last night. They went up over 500, and Jaylen Brown got benched in the first half. We'll have Jaylen Brown's side of it, Joe Mazzulla's, and your side of it as well at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Purely cosmetic here. The Celtics win their third in a row. And they're above 500 for the first time this season.
It's a good week to get right. You win the first part of the home and home. Got to win the second part. And then it gets real again.
Celtics take down the Brooklyn Nets. Thank God. The game was a little too close. Celtics pulled away in the fourth quarter, but that was a pretty close game with the worst team in the league. It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. Big part of the reason why the game was as close as it was in the first half, to be sure, the Celtics had a one-point lead at halftime. And that was due in large part to the fact that Jaylen Brown was essentially benched in the first half. Now, he played. It's not like he didn't play. But he only played 10 minutes out of a possible 24. Now, for a guy who's important to the offense and important to the team as Jaylen Brown, that raised some eyebrows. After the game, Jaylen Brown was asked about it, as was Joe Mazzulla, and it was intentional. Here's Jaylen.
Yeah, you played 10 minutes in that first half, which was pretty unusual for you, and obviously got going pretty extensively in the second half. Did Joe talk to you all about just what the pattern would be and how it affects you kind of moving forward?
No, I was just playing like shit in the first half, honestly, turning the ball over, et cetera. So I just, took a minute for me to figure it out, but I kind of picked it up to close the game. But got to come out to a better start in the first half, especially in the first quarter. Because the team kind of feeds off me. I know that, so I got to be better. And Joe's just holding me to a higher standard.
Okay. Very good answer there from Jaylen Brown. He didn't pout. He didn't give you some Ja Morant, I asked the coach. You know, he didn't give you one of those. He said, I was playing like ish.
No, I was just playing like shit.
Which, I mean, he's not totally wrong. It wasn't the worst I've ever seen from him. But in the first half, in the first quarter, he was 2-for-4 with 2 turnovers in about 6.5 minutes. Second quarter, he was 1-for-2, another turnover. So that's 3 in the first half, which isn't a good number, but it's not like it's a crazy number. In the third quarter, he went on. He had 17 points. But he turned the ball over 3 more times. Then in the fourth quarter, he had 6 points and 2 more turnovers, 8 in total. And so people are saying, oh, yeah, he was just turning over a lot. That's what happened. He only had 3 in the first half, and that's when they benched him. They benched him after, like, the first 2. That's when Joe Mazzulla basically said, all right, you need to chill out here. It seemed like it was going to be one of those games where, I don't know, either Brown was trying to do too much. It wasn't like he was chucking a bunch of shots. In the first quarter, maybe, but he was hitting some of them. He was a minus 10, however. And that's troubling. That's troubling against a team like Brooklyn. Your best player's minus 10. And you're having a hard time closing them out in the first half, really all game long until the fourth quarter when they outscored them 24-14, which, again, I mean, you know, it's the Brooklyn Nets. You should be able to beat that team pretty handily. They did. It was a double-digit win, fine. But it was notable that Joe Mazzulla was so down on what he was seeing from Jaylen Brown that he limited his minutes there in the first half, which I do have some issues with, but let's hear from the coach. Here's what Mazzulla had to say on that very topic.
Yeah, he played well. I mean, take a look at what he did in the second half for us. 9-for-19, had 23 at the end of the third, I thought, but he had a huge offensive rebound there, you know, crashing from the corner, which got us that paint and three in the corner. So, you know, he played well. We wanted to disperse the minutes. We wanted to make sure we were in good shape heading into halftime, and, you know, he handled it great, and I thought he had a great second half.
Okay. Everyone's saying the right things. Joe Mazzulla said he wanted to disperse the minutes.
I just wanted to disperse the minutes a little bit, yeah? I guess if you're going to do it against any team, you do that against Brooklyn. But why is it Jaylen Brown's minutes getting dispersed? You can say he wasn't playing well. Brown was much more honest about it. I was playing like ish. Joe holds me to a higher standard. And I was able to, you know, go out in the second half. He still turned the ball over a bunch, but he was a scoring machine in that third quarter. He was awesome in the third quarter. He was getting to the free throw line, hitting his threes. It was a great quarter. 17-point quarter. Of course it was a great quarter. And I thought, okay, well, you didn't see much of them there in the first half. What are they hiding them? What are they trying to do here? It was kind of disciplinary. And it seemed like Jaylen Brown was able to feed off of that. Seemed like that worked out for him. It's easy to do it against a bad team, I suppose. But I was watching that, and I was wondering, how many times has that sort of thing happened with Jason Tatum? Has Jason Tatum ever had a bad half and been benched like that? Like, was that ever something that Mazzulla did for him? If he did, it would never came up like that.
JT finally woke up.
I don't know. I mean, I thought that there's. He's not like he hasn't had bad halves. But was it ever so bad that Mazzulla was like, I'm going to sit him down for a little bit and disperse the minutes elsewhere because Tatum's just not getting the job done. Now, Jason Tatum's a great player. I think he's a better player than Jaylen Brown. I think they're both very good. But Tatum, I think, is just, you know, we were talking about this last night. You talk about bad matchups. Jason Tatum's a bad matchup for anybody trying to guard him. Jaylen Brown, I've seen people defend Jaylen Brown. I've seen people defend Tatum, too. Andrew Wiggins in 2022, like, he was all over him in that finals. But you don't see that very often. And Tatum was also hurt. So, you know, like, it's just, I think that they're both excellent players. I think Jaylen Brown has been very, very good this year. And I do like that there's an element of this, that there's an element more of Mazzulla challenging him to be something more than this, to hold him to a higher standard than that. I wonder if that's the same kind of, I don't know, route that he took with Tatum, or if he took any sort of similar route like that at all. Because if he did, I don't remember. If he did, I don't remember him ever saying something like that, or Tatum saying, yeah, you know, I cut down on my minutes. I wasn't playing very well. And so, you know, that's why I only played 10 minutes in a first half. I don't remember him ever playing 10 minutes in a first half.
So it was like, damn, I got to be due for one.
You know, that doesn't ring a bell. If I'm missing something, then feel free to let me know at 617-779-7937. But I noticed that. And I'm not saying it's even necessarily a bad thing. I think that's honestly a good thing for Joe Mazzulla if he's able to reach different players in different ways, motivate them in different ways. Maybe something like that doesn't work for Jason Tatum. He doesn't have that same kind of temperament. He doesn't like being, you know, being challenged like that in the same kind of way as someone like Jaylen Brown would. That's noticeable. Oh, he only played 10 minutes in the first half. What's that about? What's going on? You know, Joe's holding me to a higher standard. And he responded positively to it. I think that's good. I think that's a check in the box of good things, a positive check for Joe Mazzulla. Absolutely, I do.
That's life. No, they'll be all right.
And, yeah, you got Brooklyn again. Beat the hell out of them at home, please. Let's not have it be a fourth quarter finish. And then after that, things get a little tough. Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland, New York. Ooh, nice little gauntlet there. We'll see how this team does. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break when we come back. Got some Patriots talk to get to, some news with the Bengals, and the MVP conversation surrounding Drake May. How real is it? We'll get to all that next.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.